time. Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Tuesday, everybody. He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Campbell, your local alternative solid state radio.
Hello.
And normally this is where I'd probably start with hockey and make you relive all that, but I'm going to give you a segment to compose yourself for that. Give you a little bit of a reprieve for the moment, because apparently there's a bigger issue to fry at the moment, and that is apparently Lions tickets are going up something crazy for next year.
Oh, I'll bet. Without a doubt.
And of course, as you might imagine, everyone's up in arms about this because you haven't even made the playoffs yet. How are you going? And
it's all supply and demand. So when you're absolute dog, you know what? The ticket should be like, what, $4?
Now, you would think it would work that way, except for the fact that this is reality and it does not at all work that way, unfortunately. And the second any team in this league starts to make any forward progress, all of a sudden, it's basically F you, pay me.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's kind of the reality of it. Like, I know that you can't really do a right or wrong on this. It's really, the real question here is, are you going to, if you're a Lions season ticket holder, are you going to keep paying these prices? Because it becomes, to some of us, it's always been readily evident. But for some people, it takes something like this for people to figure out these teams don't care about you ever. No. Like, all the loyalty or whatever you put into them will not be returned by these companies. They're run as businesses. They don't give a damn about you. They never do give a damn about you. They just want theirs. And if you don't give it to them, screw it. We'll find some other sucker of a city that will.
Well, and there should be a certain sense of loyalty, especially for ticket holders. The right thing would be, okay, we know we're an exciting team now. There's more of a demand, so we're going to be jacking up prices. That's normal. But if you've been a season ticket holder for, especially those people who've been season ticket holders for 5+ years, they shouldn't be jacking those prices up, because they had to live. They saw some things, man.
They don't care if they
lived through the dark times.
They don't care if you've been a season ticket holder, your family's been season ticket holders for 60, 70, 80 years. Yep. They don't care.
I'm not gonna re-enlist.
Fine, next man up.
Yep.
There's someone behind you that will. And I know it's a rather cynical way to approach it, but it's also reality, unfortunately.
It's also business.
It is. And you hate it. You hate to see it, but they're gonna do it for as long as the market will bear it. That's just kind of the way this goes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's a good problem to have. I know that for the longest time, getting Wings tickets has always been kind of difficult, because, like, when I first started getting into the Red Wings, because they were doing well.
Yeah. And
Pistons tickets should be, you bring in a canned good, you're in.
Pretty sure it is at this point. You know, it's funny. Back when they were still at the Palace, and when they just started to become terrible, like, this was in the post-Iverson days.
Uh-huh.
Like, there were nights where I could literally get a ticket for $4 to a game on StubHub. Not even kidding you.
At that point, they just want you in the building to buy concessions and souvenirs and stuff like that.
They know what they've got, and they know it's not good.
Yep.
That's totally understandable, and I kind of get it. Like, for example, let me take a look. How much would tickets for Thursday's game against the Jazz be?
they're going for loss number 25?
Yes.
Okay.
It would be $14 a ticket for that game.
But then, you know what's going to happen? And call the cynicism, or call it just funny as you know what.
Mm-hmm.
What if they go to have that 29th loss?
And tickets are through the roof.
there's not an empty seat to be had. Pistons going out there. Wow, we must be doing. No, they're here to see you fail.
They're all here to watch you fail. They're all gonna laugh at you.
We'll get back to the Pistons here in a little bit. But anyway, Lions tickets.
But no, I absolutely expect that's what's going to happen though. Like, that game, In fact, let's find out, shall we? Because I'm kind of curious now. So what that's going to, what those tickets are going for?
Well, Pistons, the
for the game where they can actually
beat the record.
So Pistons at Raptors at Pistons. This event is selling fast for Detroit Pistons. December 30th. Tickets start at $36.
All right. We should go.
You know what? I'm down. Screw it. You want to be there for history? I kind of do.
Yeah. But the thing is, I mean,
I could absolutely be talking to this.
We sure really should. The thing is, the Pistons, what is going on with that team? Nobody's playing defense because, I mean, it's not like they're losing by like 60 points. They're not. They've cracked the 100 mark just about every game. With the last game, I can't remember who they were playing, but they put up about 124 points, and you still lost.
Because there's no defense to be had.
Yeah. Defense was not on the menu.
No, certainly not. But no, that's kind of where it comes down to. And you better believe the second they improve from, you know, the 2-80 that they're going to finish this season, that's what prices are going to go up for those tickets too. Supply and demand. We don't care that you were here all last season. F you, pay me.
Yeah.
Plenty to get to today. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. It is happy hour at your local alternative Solid State Radio. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. I can't hold off any longer, dude. I tried. Like, we literally talked Pistons before we got into this, but I'm sorry, we have to do this.
Yeah. Anaheim Ducks took them to behind the woodshed.
Like, they came back. I will give them credit. Like, they attempted to come back, at least.
They did. They really showed some life.
A little too garbage time for me, but yeah.
Yeah, well, we've said it before. You can't win a game in the first period, but you sure as hell can lose one. And that's
they did.
That's what happened. Three goals in the first period. You got goals from Radko Gudas, that cement head, Pavel Mintyakov, who is a former Flint, former Saginaw Spirit player. So, and then Adam Harik on the power play. And then Troy Terry makes it 4-0 in the second period. Jeff Petrie.
He did something positive for once.
Jeff effing Petrie.
I'm as shocked as you are.
Scores to put us on the board. Andrew Kopp and Patrick Kane with the assist. Jeff Petrie finally scores his first as a Red Wing, his first in like 40-some games. They didn't even play the foreigner, it feels like, the first time when he scored a goal. Every time somebody scores their first goal as a Red Wing, they always play feels like the first time. But they didn't for Jeff. They're like, it's about time.
It's about goddamn time.
DeBrincat on the
power. Which, to be fair, about goddamn time.
Right. DeBrincat was unleashed. Two power play goals in the third period. I shouldn't do this, but apparently it's like a canker sore. You just can't leave it alone. I go to these Facebook pages for the Red Wings, and
oh, no.
Like, our power play is just terrible. And I'm looking.
You've been spending time in the wing wheel again, haven't you?
Yeah. Were you there too? And I said,
I don't even read it
anymore,
man. I commented,
I'm like, dude, the power play is at 20.8%. We're in the top third of the league. We're not terrible, but we're a lot better than what you're giving. And then, you know, they were like 2-for-6 on the power play.
Yeah.
This past game. They turned it on late. The Wings did. If they would have had that intensity from the jump, they probably would have done okay. Then the injury bug comes in. And within like 2 minutes of each other, actually during the same play, Jake Wallman takes a stinger right off the knee. He crumples down, but being the Iron Man that he is, he drops his stick and he's hobbling around. He's going to block shots with his teeth if he has to because he's that kind of player. Really like me some Jake Wallman. Then, Ville Husso.
He's definitely making his money's worth for this season. The Wings are, for what's worth, 13th in power play percentage. In power play goals, they rank second? With 29, they're tied with New Jersey and Vancouver, apparently.
I wish I had that nugget of information for...
If I'm looking at this right, that I'm pretty sure that's, 29. So the only team that has more is Tampa Bay. But the percentage is so much lower because I think they're just...
They've had so many opportunities and they don't...
They don't convert. Yeah. But still...
That's not bad. To get on these things, oh, our power play is so terrible. Well, then you do something about it, knucklehead. So you got Ville Husso going out there. They said lower body injury. The way he was moving, I'm guessing it's a groin. He might be out. I mean, it got so bad.
How bad was it?
Robbie Fabry threw his head back in disgust. He's got whiplash. He's out 3 to 5 weeks.
That's about right. Funny because it's true.
Wallman came back. Husso is still undecided. Sean, Ville Husso, out. Alex Lyon, out. What do you do? Do you wrap James Reimer in bubble wrap? Or do you go with what the new unsubstantiated theory is that Yzerman is going to go for a trade for Marc-Andre Fleury.
That's the rumor now?
That's the rumor.
Adam, are Wings fans this stupid? Are they this effing dumb that they really think that that's a thing that's going
to
happen?
I would like to say some of them are. Can't lump us all into the same...
The loud ones.
Yeah, the squeakiest wheels.
So, Minnesota currently, not good. They're second to worst in the Central Division. With 28 points, they would be presently fifth worst team in the Western Conference. Marc-Andre Fleury, at 39 years old, currently sitting with a 329 goals against, 886 save percentage. Now, if you're...
These people all living in the past.
And if you're thinking, by the way, that, oh, well, that's just because Minnesota's terrible. Philip Gustafson, meanwhile, has a 291 goals against, a 906 save percentage.
Yep.
And it is very much far and away, like, he is the starter for this team. You're not going out and trading for a 39-year-old Marc-Andre Fleury, you effing idiots.
Yeah, if you do, you're not... Given up a lot. I will say that Detroit area loves Marc-Andre Fleury. I remember the last game I saw.
I like the guy, don't get me wrong.
He was playing for Vegas, and I saw the Wings play Vegas, and they announced him as a starter, and the Wings faithful gave him quite a nice ovation. Because, I mean, the diehard hockey fans in Detroit, they recognize talent.
No one doesn't like Marc-Andre Fleury except Peter DeBoer.
And apparently, was it Chris Letang? Because Fleury was playing against Pittsburgh.
Mm.
He played a little trick on Letang. Changed his helmet out. So you're supposed to wear the black helmets when you're at home. White helmets away. He swapped them. And Letang almost took to the ice. And would have gotten like a $2,500 fine. But luckily, the assistant equipment manager stopped him and said, "Hey, stupid, wrong lid."
Ah, nice. What a classy thing all the way around there. Lovely, it really is. But
I don't know why the NHL would. It was during like the warm up skate. I don't know why the NHL would feel the need to fine you for that.
Yeah, that seems kind of stupid, but that's. This league doesn't make sense 90% of the time, so, I mean, I guess that's just kind of on brand for them.
Right.
But no, all that being said, they're not trading for him. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, I imagine they're going to have to address the position in some capacity, it's not going to be that.
Well, Casa is still in the oven. He's not ready yet. Michael Hutchinson, you're not bringing him up. He's absolute garbage. He couldn't do well during preseason, so they got to come up with something.
Yeah, so looking in Grand Rapids right now, Hutchinson 298 goals against.
298? That's not bad.
Save percentage of 895. Casas 293 goals against, 904 save percentage in 11 games so far this season. Maybe it's time. For Casa to make his Red Wings debut.
I feel like we're making I don't know. All right. If you'll do it, I'll do it. We both bring out a key, put into a lock. Initiate Casa. You know, Sean, when we hit this button, there's no turning back. Whatever happened to Victor Brodstrom? Brattstrom.
Didn't he end up,
I think,
like,
he flamed out,
demoted? Like, didn't he actually end up back down in Toledo?
I think he did. That's too bad. I liked what little I saw of him, but yeah.
Well, he couldn't keep it up, apparently. Like, I'm looking for the, like, I don't even know if he's still in the organization, to be entirely honest with you. Team news, and I will find this, because I'm kind of curious about it now too, because we had this discussion. Okay, so Toledo's two guys are Jan Bednar and John Lethem.
Oh, Jan Bednar, I forgot about that cat.
So Bednar, 310 goals against, 875 save percentage, and
that's in the ECHL.
That's in the ECHL.
Oh, okay, let him stay there.
And then John Lululemon or whatever his name is, 371, 863.
I forgot about that cat.
I don't even know who. How the hell do you pronounce his goddamn name?
Lethemon. There's a TH in there. I don't know where you got.
I don't know.
Leatherman.
I don't know how. That sounds a weird name, man. So yeah, like apparently, Brattstrom is not affiliated in any way with the Red Wings organization at this point.
MLive is reporting that Ville Husso was out for a while. Mike Hutchinson signed. So it looks like...
So it's Hutchinson getting the call-up.
Hutchinson's going to be the backup for James Reimer. Wonderful! Just great!
Yeah, I'm so excited for this.
Didn't crash.
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, that's going to be wonderful. I'm sure the team's going to respond very well to this.
Well, usually when it's a goaltender they don't trust, they seem to tighten up defensively. So hopefully that's the case.
Well, one can only hope, dude. Lord knows we desperately need them to. So looking at Brattstrom, since you were asking me about
I was just kind of curious about him.
So he is apparently now in the Swedish Hockey League. No, is that Swedish? Yeah, Swedish Hockey League. Yeah, he's not even playing. He is loaned to some team over there, and he's not doing well.
Yikes. Well, right now, the Wings are on a three-game losing streak. They go into Winnipeg tomorrow. Philadelphia, they're playing Philadelphia again on Friday the 22nd. They're expecting Michael Hutchinson to be in the lineup for that game.
Oh, God.
Whether he gets a start or not. Whether he sees any ice time, I don't know, but it looks like...
Against one of the best teams in the East. Lovely.
Well, I guess he would have to be there when they go to the Peg, because who are they going to have?
Right. I mean, you just do pull Vasilevskiy with Reimer. You just ride that dude until there's absolutely nothing, no tread left on the tires. That's all you can do. Yeah. It's the only way.
You know, the guys at Bally would still have, like, the camera shot right on where the backup goalie's supposed to be. They're like, nope, nobody there.
That seat's just empty.
Because we know one of the camera guys. Oh,
that's true.
Oh, Harluck Pete. He would just be focusing around there. Yep, no other goalie. I don't know what we're going to do here.
Nope. That's
Reimers goes out with an injury, and here comes Coach Lalonde in goalie gear. This is going to be horrific.
It's either that or the Zamboni driver.
Yeah. You see where there's some people, mainly Toronto Maple Leafs, trying to get rid of the whole emergency goalie backup program.
Really?
Well, yeah, because they're still catching a lot of crap. When
they lost to a Zamboni driver, basically.
Their Zamboni driver.
Well, here they're wanting to get rid of, so what are they wanting to do instead? Just... not have a goalie at
you know
all?
What? You know what?
Like, what is their solution?
I was like a responsible Facebook researcher. I just read the headline and kept scrolling. So I didn't really get right into the deep in the woods.
Damn it, Adam. See, this is the kind of information I need.
I'll look that up, because I'd like to find out what exactly they would want to do. I'm sure they're probably thinking, well, if you don't have a goaltender.
You have to forfeit.
Yeah. Yep. Like, or strap, take one of your forwards, put like Christian Fisher. Put him in goalie pads and throw him in there.
Yeah, that's what we really need.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. If your team's so bad that it loses to a Zamboni driver that got put in net, then can we revoke your franchise?
Well, I mean,
that'd be great.
At that point, this is when Carolina, they were, they're still a decent team. I don't want to give them any flack, but they were an elite team at that point. They clamped down. They were winning that game. They needed that, I can't remember the cat's name, Scott, somebody. They brought him in, and they clamped down defensively. They had five defensemen at that point because they were winning the game. They didn't need anything more.
And I'm thinking Scott, not Scott, no, Scott Darling was actually a goaltender for them.
Correct.
At one point.
And he was also played for the Hawks.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Scott, but you're, something like that. So, yeah, I mean, if they were down a couple of goals, they'd be like, okay, just do the best you can, and we'll pray for the best. But
right, it's all we can really do at that point.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll have to see.
That, I suppose,
it's
going to
be interesting.
It is. Here's Queens of the Stone Age at Solid State Radio. Royal Blood at your local alternative Solid State Radio. By the way, I found the guy, David Ayers. That's who it was.
That's his name. Okay.
That game that will live in infamy.
Yep.
42 years old, he goes out there and just...
42 years old!
And he goes out there and...
How many saves did he make? Because if I remember correctly...
8 saves on 10 attempts.
Yeah, yeah. So he even let in goals, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, so he got the W.
He did.
But that was more of an elite team in Carolina... clamping down defensively, but
that was
still,
the old school really bunch of jerks.
Yeah, the ones that we miss, they'll get back in there. And meanwhile, I mean, if they were in the same situation, I'm quite sure Toronto would have no problem handling it. But
oh,
could you imagine though? Was it Babcock was a coach at that time? I'm sure there was a bunch of he was screwing with everybody's mind at that point. You guys just lost to a Zamboni driver.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah, he was kicking trash cans and things after the game. I mean, everyone probably should have been cut from that team, admittedly.
We did what? We lost to who?
I mean, can you really blame him for being... like, no. At that point, I feel like all his usual BS is entirely justified.
Mm-hmm.
When you go lose to a backup goalie.
Yeah.
Let's do some... coming up here, let's do some... NFL overreactions, shall we? Right now, here's the Secret Life of Houseplants at Solid State Radio. The Lumineers at your local alternative Solid State Radio. You just showed me this picture of this cat that we assigned to play goalie for the Red Wings.
Yeah. If you go on to the Detroit Red Wings Facebook page, they have a picture of him. And yeah, I showed you. I don't have it on my screen right now, but you've seen it. I mean, the crazy look in his eye, kind of like, he's got dead animals in his crawl space, I'm pretty sure.
Right. I mean, Austin Matthews 5-head aside, the dude definitely looks like you would come across him at 3 in the morning, hitchhiking on the side of the road, carrying a machete, wearing a goalie mask, which I guess the last part, at least, you know, is fitting.
Yeah, exactly. He was wearing a goalie mask, and... Steve Eisner was driving. He's like, what do we do about goaltender? Hey, you, get in the back. All right, but don't look in the bag.
That serial killer looking fellow looks like he could be the next goalie for your Detroit Red Wings.
And lo and behold.
Sure enough, he was.
Yeah, he's signed a one-year, two-way contract.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as soon as Lyon or Husso shows any kind of sign, that cat's going back.
No, absolutely. But I don't know now. Like,
unless he's completely lights out. But
you mess with that guy, you look like, you know. Where'd Stevie go? I don't know. We haven't seen him in weeks.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what's going on there.
Somebody from Winnipeg took a run on him. He got a 2-minute penalty, and then we just can't find him. We don't know what's going on.
Craziest thing. So, are we ready to do some overreactions? NFL things have happened this week, and it's been quite the week of games, really. So let's just go ahead and overreact to them, shall we? Maestro, the music, please.
Sure. Dun, dun. Oh, here's Rocky training. And was it Dolph Lundgren and his character training over in the other corner? Whatever. Rocky IV.
Sure, we'll go with that. Anyway.
All right, overreaction, or is this on par? Kevin Stefanski should be front runner for Coach of the Year.
Look, I'll say that he's absolutely a top candidate, but I'm not going to say he's the front runner. I mean, it's no doubt impressive what he's done, like without Nick Chubb for the rest of the year, without the corpse of Deshaun Watson. I mean, you're winning games somehow with Joe Flacco, but mostly that's because your defense has been fantastic. But to me, the favorite is D'Amico Ryans. Without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, you're talking a team that has by far exceeded any expectations that were thrown on it this preseason. Like, at this point of the year, after having drafted C.J. Stroud and done what they've done, did you expect that team to somehow be in contention for a division title?
No.
Did you expect them to even be in contention for a playoff spot?
Negatory.
No. Absolutely you didn't. And yet, the fact that they are, despite all that, is really a testament to what that man has done in Houston. DeMeco Ryans is absolutely still my front runner for the Coach of the Year right now, but Stefanski's easily top three. I put probably the two of them, and you can make an argument for Mike McDaniel of the Dolphins. I could be talking to Shane Steichen and the Colts too, because I mean, look, you're still in a playoff spot with Uncle Rico as your starter.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, you know, let there be some credit given there, because you know Anthony Richardson died four games into the season. So there's four guys up top there for me that are absolutely in it, but I'm not. Is saying he's the front runner, overreaction all day.
I got a question, a follow up question. That's really in two parts. Do they have a coach of the year for offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator?
Not to my knowledge.
Has any one of those guys, the positions, ever won coach of the year? I would assume not, because they have.
It's always a head coach now.
It's always a head coach. Okay. All right, moving on. Oh, you're going to love this one.
Oh, really?
I almost want to save this one for that. No, I'm going to go for it. The Rams are the most dangerous of the 7-7 NFC playoff contenders.
Well, of your current 7-7 playoff contenders, it's them, Seattle, whichever team wins the garbage NFC South, the Vikings, and who is it on the other side? The Steelers and the Broncos. You could, in theory, you could make a case for the Broncos. Well, you could have before the Lions went and utterly destroyed them on Saturday night.
That's right.
I'm not making much of a case for the Steelers, though I do think they'll make, there's still a chance they could make the playoffs, but I don't expect them to do anything once they get there. Like, it should be just enough to secure what Mike Tomlin's, you know, never had a losing record in Pittsburgh streak. Minnesota, I don't expect to be anything with Nick Mullins taking over. Like, I'm not at all expecting at this point that he's going to be a difference maker and that team's going to make any noise with him under center. So it's really between the Rams and the Seahawks at this point. Give the Rams credit here, though. 3-6 at the bye. They've gone 4-1 down the stretch. I mean, you beat Washington. No one cares. But you lost to Baltimore, and that was your only, and that was an overtime loss. That's the
Baltimore's
only loss
been kind
that
of the dream killer this season.
They really, truly have. And I don't know, like, there's not much in the way of defense, you know, to really scare anybody. But at the same point in time, no one expects you're going to beat, like, you open against the Eagles on the road right now, and I don't like those odds.
No,
but they can match up with anybody. Although, I don't know, I'm still, it's not an overreaction, I would say, but the Seahawks, man, I mean, you watched them knock off the Eagles on national television with Drew Locke last night.
Yes, we did.
They could be, I think, I mean, they clearly can hang with the best of the best and beat the best of the best. I think Seahawks are my, like, most feared 7-7 team right now, if I have to put it out there. Rams are up there, but I'd rather face the Rams in Seattle right now.
Seattle is dangerous. Put a pin in on Monday night's game. We'll talk more about that a little later on.
Okay.
Moving on, the Chiefs. Okay, overreaction or not an overreaction. The Chiefs finally found a wide receiver they can trust.
Look, I assume we're talking about Rashee Rice here.
Yes.
Who had 9 catches for like 91 yards and a touchdown over the Pats Sunday. Well, there's two things on this. One, it was against the Patriots. The Patriots are absolute trash. I mean, that organization is entirely in free fall here. That being said, yeah, he's averaging 9.5 targets and 8 catches per game these last 4 games. He's caught a touchdown pass in 3 of them. And I will say he's been a decent option, but that's mostly because he's been your only option. I mean, no one's particularly been good. Sky Moore has not lived up to his expectations. Marquez Valdes-Scantling certainly has not been what you were hoping to get out of him. And Kadarius Toney, really? Like, he's been an absolute gaff machine so far this season. Like, he should probably, honestly, I'm amazed that they haven't just outright cut that man at this point.
You know, I went to a Greek restaurant and I ordered a Kadarius Toney and not enough lamb.
Jesus, Adam. But he's the closest you have to reliable, but at this point, I think everyone's just looking for something on that team to maybe go right. But there's no one outside of Travis Kelce that you can trust as a receiving target on that team right now. There's just not. Sorry. Like, he's doing well in a sea of really bad options, but I'm really hesitant to throw too much on that man's shoulders just yet.
Fair enough. Moving on. The Raiders will give interim coach Antonio Pierce the full-time job. Is he getting the regular gig next season?
So he literally got Brandon Staley fired. The thing that I've been saying all year is going to happen eventually. He made it happen after that Thursday night debacle. Holy hell.
Antonio Pierce made it happen?
Yeah, 63-21 Thursday night. Like, they beat the brakes off the Chargers so badly that
that was bad.
That they basically got not only your head coach, but your GM fired. That was impressive. And
I didn't know they can't the GM too.
Yeah, that's how bad it was. Like, I'd like to think at this point that this team has learned from the whole Rich Bisaccia thing, where he took over and led the team to some nice wins in the aftermath of the John Gruden firing.
Oh yeah.
And then they immediately cast him aside and bring on Josh McDaniels like a bunch of morons. Uh-huh. I'm hoping these guys have learned their lesson. Like, he's doing well with the team. He's got them playing their hearts out, man. And you'd like to think that this time Mark Davis isn't going to make that mistake again. You got a lot of questions there. I mean, no one knows who's going to play quarterback for that team next season. I mean, you bench Jimmy G in favor of Aiden O'Connell. I'm not sure he's the answer. I don't think anyone's ready to declare that the case. But you're going back into rebuilding here, and this guy's got your defense just playing absolutely lights out. And the team's very much responding to him. I would make him the permanent guy tomorrow.
Wow. Okay.
Like, just don't do that stupid thing again where, here, we have a guy who's actually doing well in the interim. We're going to dump him and then find the next hot name. And then, well, I guess we should have kept the guy who was actually winning games for us. Hi, Josh McDaniels. Anyway.
All right, moving on. Baker Mayfield and Gardner Minshew will be week one starting quarterbacks somewhere next season.
I absolutely think that is reality. Like, I think Baker will be in Tampa Bay next year. Like, I
could see that.
Because I don't think they're going to find their QB in the draft. Like, right now, they're not even necessarily going to have a high first-round pick. They're currently sitting at 19th. I don't know that necessarily the QB that they want is going to be available for them at any rate. And even if he is, you might, you know, let him sit behind Baker for a minute and learn. Like, he's done everything you could have really asked from him so far. He threw for 4 touchdown passes, 380 yards on Sunday against Green Bay. And I didn't realize this. Per the good folk at ESPN, he became the first visiting QB to throw 4 touchdown passes and complete 75% of his passes at Lambeau Field ever. Like, the NFC South is trash.
What kind of statistician do they have that came up with that one?
I don't know.
I mean, I just imagine, like, somewhere in the you know, the bunch of files, like, in the basement of the NFL, there's just some guy who hasn't seen the sun in 20 years comes up with that kind of stuff.
Right. You really got to hand it to those guys, man. They come up with some ridiculous stats. But, no, I think he's still going to be with Tampa Bay next season.
Yeah, like, Gardner Minshew, though?
He's done well enough to absolutely earn that right. Minshew? I think they very much still think Anthony Richardson is their QB of the future. But Minshew has literally gotten this garbage team to playoff contention. His last 3 games, 6 touchdown passes and only 1 pick. They've won 5 of 6 with Uncle Rico. And some team's going to take a flyer on him next season.
Yeah.
I don't know who it's going to be necessarily, but he's played well enough that I think
Carolina.
There could be some I think that they're not going to give up on Bryce Young after not even a full after like one season. It's not going to happen. I mean, you know, maybe he ends up with the Raiders. Stranger things have happened. Could end up, I mean, there's any number of places where he could settle in, depending on how long Deshaun Watson's out. Maybe he's an option in Cleveland eventually. Like, right. Like there are teams that are in desperate need of QB talent. It happens every year. Like, if you don't think that Danny Dimes or Tommy Cutlets are an option in New York, there's a lot of places that could use a guy that could take a complete garbage team and lead them to playoff contention, especially where Indy was not expected to contend for anything, much like Houston this year. Meanwhile, can we say Jacksonville might just pull off the biggest choke ever? That division was theirs for the taking, and they're...
What happened there?
Like, everything just came off the effing rails for them, man.
Yes.
Like, looking at these last couple games, like, I mean, Baltimore. You expect that you're not going to put up great numbers against the Ravens. But they went to the Browns and lost there. They lost an OT to the Bengals, which a game that you were supposed to win because who thought Jake Browning was going to do anything?
Right.
But they might actually manage to pull off the choke job there and let one of these other garbage teams in. So, no, Minshew is absolutely going to be starting for someone next season. There's no reason for him not to be.
Absolutely. I mean, did somebody cut Trevor Lawrence's hair? Is that what happened? Was that like kind of a Samson thing?
Like that's the source of his power?
Yeah.
You know, stranger things have happened, man.
I don't know. So I mean, everybody has expected like Jacksonville Jaguars to be a dumpster fire, and yeah, they keep proving us wrong. I hate it.
They do. I mean, I think this year, though, maybe the luck will run out a little bit. Like, because there's a good, at one point, you could make the argument Doug Peterson for Coach of the Year, but now, the way this thing's going,
yeah,
maybe not so much. There you go. There. That's your overreactions?
I mean, I've got more if you got more in the tank, but yeah, let's take a break, come back fresh.
All right.
We'll do
that. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. My Chemical Romance, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour, and Adam just wasn't done with me overreacting to football things, apparently.
I love it when you're animated about things. Usually you're like, oh, whatever, life sucks.
Life sucks, dude. What do you want from me?
Everything's a deep void, and it's really kind of hard to do radio when he's got a razor blade and he's cutting himself. I'm like, all right, I guess we'll keep doing this.
All right, football it is then. Maestro, the music, please, maybe.
Yeah, I got a couple more overreactions for you, Sean.
Lay it on me.
All right. Cowboys' win streak was a product of their schedule.
It absolutely was. I mean, that loss to the Bills, 31-10, like it really just shows you.
And the Bills, not to cut you off, but the Bills have not been the Bills that we've seen the last couple seasons.
No, they really haven't. It's interesting to me how that team does better the less Josh Allen actually has to do.
Josh Allen, wasn't he quoted as saying,
it's like being the kid that didn't participate in the group project and still got an A. I mean,
giving points for honesty there, yeah.
No, absolutely. I mean, you look at the last several games. They played the Giants at home, the Panthers on the road, and then Washington, Seattle, and Philly at home. The Eagles win's the only one where I'm really like, okay, this you actually proved something here. The rest of those, I mean, you're playing a bunch of garbage teams on the road, or you're playing a garbage team on the road and then a few garbage teams at home, and Seattle's not going to travel to Dallas and win, even as impressive as last night was. Like, with all that, Dallas had 10 days rest before that Philly game.
Right.
So, yeah, it absolutely it was a favorable schedule that I think produced at least the win against the Eagles. You got to play the Dolphins and the Lions next, though, so we'll see how that works out for you. I don't like your odds against the Dolphins, and, you know, we'll see about the Lions.
I mean, well, the Lions, not just to be a homer, but Lions have been they've shown moments where they can actually kind of kick it into gear. And I still think that they're going to win. The Lions are going to win that next game against Minnesota. They're going to squeak out a win against Dallas and then lose that last game to Minnesota on January 7th.
But you know what? That still gets you in the playoffs. I don't even care.
Gets you in the playoff. Bills are the most dangerous team in the AFC.
Wrong, because the Baltimore Ravens exist.
Yeah, nevermore.
Like, it was impressive watching them beat KC and Arrowhead, blowing out the Cowboys at home. But they look like they're going to be a tough team to beat, a tough matchup in the first round of the playoffs. But come on. The Ravens have been very good. And we're going to really just see how good they are when they play the Jags and the Niners these next two games. I mean, give them credit, because the start of this season, Buffalo was just, they weren't playing well at all. They honestly weren't, I mean, they're still outside of playoff contention even now, and that's with being two games above 500. But you look back early in the year, I mean, you won three of your first four, then you lost to the Jags, you lost to the Patriots, you took a couple losses to Cincy and Denver. Now you're looking like a team that could beat anybody again. Yep. But no, it's the Ravens until proven otherwise, unless they screw up against Jacksonville or San Fran.
Is this an overreaction or reality? Arthur Smith should be fired as Falcons head coach.
You lost to the Panthers. You lost to the goddamn
Panthers. Any given Sunday.
They hadn't won a game all season. You know, I really did think for a while that maybe if he won and made it into the playoffs, which is still very much arguably still is a possibility in the garbage NFC South. But I mean, if you can't even beat Carolina, who now suddenly has two wins on the season. I mean, it's not just, any given Sunday, but any given Sunday when you completely misuse guys like Bijan Robinson. I mean, guy who probably should be offensive rookie of the year. You only gave him 7 carries on the day. Only target Kyle Pitts 4 times. Only target Drake London 3 times. Like, these are all first-round guys who are expected to be the cornerstone of this franchise going forward. And you're not even, did you forget these guys exist? What are you doing? I mean, you're now 20-28 under this guy. You've never won more than 7 games in a season in a division that has been largely garbage outside of the Tom Brady years in Tampa Bay for most of that time. And I get that you don't have a quarterback. That's the one thing I suppose I will grant you here. Like, Desmond Ritter's not the answer. We've discussed that at length. But, I mean, Taylor Heineke, he's not great by any means. But, I mean, you should be able to cobble together a few more wins here with the weapons you're surrounded with. Fire him out of a cannon. He absolutely should be done at the end of this season.
Moving on, is this an overreaction or reality? Texans need C.J. Stroud to go to the playoffs.
They absolutely do. I mean, I'll give you that the defense on Sunday against the Titans is what kept you in that game. I mean, yeah, you were starting Case Keenum, which you just hate to see it. I mean, you didn't have Tank Dell or Nico Collins at wideout either, which didn't help any. But you're not going to beat a real team without Stroud under center. It's just not going to happen. I hate to say it. Like, Keenum's a serviceable, like, fill-in for a game or two, but you better hope Stroud's, you know, healthy and back at it in time for the playoffs. Right now, he's out with a concussion. Presumably not going to miss the rest of the season. Like, you need him back ASAP to have any hope at this thing.
All right, this next one, I'm not 100% sure because I don't know where the Jets are in the standings, but
They've been eliminated already from playoff contention.
Jets should tell Aaron Rodgers not to play this year.
Absolutely. Like, why come back and do further damage? Like, an Achilles injury is already really difficult for most guys to come back from and be effective. we've talked about this. It's not a surgery. Like, he thought, oh, I'm going to be back in 3 months. It's going to be fine because I'm somehow, you know.
He said 3 weeks. I mean, this guy was just.
Like, this man thinks he's just a freak of effing nature. And I hate to tell you, like, you're gonna do something like that and find out real quick that, no, you ain't that guy. Like, it's not something to mess around with. There's no reason to do it.
But do the Jets have him under contract after this year? I think he just had a one-year deal, wasn't it?
No, he's under contract for multiple years.
Yeah, is he? Okay, well, yeah.
Like, you've got him signed, certainly the very least, for next season. Like, why would you...
Well, then definitely put him on ice.
Like, why is this even a question, really? Like, why would you even think about having him come back right now? Like... You have nothing, literal nothing, left to play for.
Right.
And that contract currently has him signed through 2025. It was a 3-year deal. So, no, why risk it? Like, your season's over. It doesn't matter who you put under center, whether it's Trevor Siemian or Zach Wilson or, you know, whatever other QB pull off the top of the dumpster pile here. Like, you need him to contend next year, especially with that defense. You absolutely need Aaron Rodgers next season. Why waste and risk the possibility of aggravating injury?
Right.
When you're trash this year for what? For garbage time? No. Hell no.
Taylor Swift will be named MVP of the Super Bowl.
God, probably at this point. I'll be honest with you, though. I'm not entirely convinced that KC gets to a Super Bowl this year. You're going to have to do something you haven't done in a long time. You're going to have to win a playoff game on the road.
Oh, boy.
Like, KC is not the KC of old. Like, KC is not, I would argue, KC is not a top five team in the NFL right now.
Overreaction or reality, the winner of the MVP of the Super Bowl will get Taylor Swift.
Probably. There you go. There's your overreaction. It's happy hour. It's Solid State Radio. Stick around. There's Barnes Courtney, Young in America, your local alternative. It's Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. Apparently, we do have football tonight. The Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl. Have you ever heard of this?
What? You made that up. Stop making things up.
I didn't make this up. And granted that... the teams involved are as irrelevant as the sponsor of it.
What was UTSA the bowl name again?
Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl.
Wow. They spent more money to get a bowl name than they did for their own name.
Pretty much. I mean, it's pretty sad. Like, we didn't even really do a whole lot of all the bowl action from this weekend, like, because we ran out of time on Friday's show, but like,
yeah, there wasn't anything though.
That's not true. There was the Cricket Celebration Bowl, good sir.
Again? Oh wow, where was I?
Or the Avocados from Mexico Cure Bowl. I don't know what we're curing avocados. I didn't realize that those were like a.
Were they sick?
I guess that's all I can figure anyway.
Listen, every day. 35,000 avocados die because they're sick. It's because of your donations that we have...
you cure these avocados.
Yes. Come to find out, we open up, there's a big wooden ball in the middle of all of them. Lord, won't you help?
You two can be the difference in a starving avocado's life or something.
That's right. Meanwhile, all the Republicans are like, don't put it on your toast. That'll make you go broke.
But no, so, yeah. And then last night, you had the Famous Toastery Bowl, whatever that is.
The Famous Toastery Bowl. Okay, stop. I mean,
apparently, can't be that famous because I've never heard of it. Also, I mean, is it literally a place itself?
The bowl games have got to be like, okay, listen, people have actually had to have heard of you before we're going to name our bowl after you. I mean, no, you can't be the first person that shows, yeah, oh, come on, put me. I put my money down and you have to name it after me. We don't care about your product.
They care about their money, though. That's
they
all
do,
these are
they
about.
They do, but I mean,
if they didn't care about just money, then these bowls wouldn't
listen,
still
exist. Nobody's going to give a rat's, you know what, about it, because nobody's going to sell T-shirts
for that.
Because they don't care about it. It's all about the money. Take the money where you can get it. Slap whatever name on it. Doesn't matter. They're getting paid.
Here is a blockbuster. Be Kind Rewind Bowl.
You know that had to be a thing in the 90s, right?
It was. There's, it was.
Was it really?
Blockbuster Bowl. Yeah.
That does.
Like a Red Box Bowl. The Red Box.
The Netflix Bowl.
The Red Box. Netflix. Every time they score a touchdown, dun dun.
Right.
And of course, like every bowl game, every once in a while, the game just stops in the middle. The action stops, ball in midfield, and a big announcement comes up. Hey, are you still watching?
I would pay money to see this happen.
The ball's sitting there, the crowd's there, the receiver's just like, what do I do here? They haven't clicked yes.
Do we have to stop playing now?
Another suggestion for you is Jamestown, where other people killed themselves.
So that's what you have to look forward to tonight. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. It is happy hour at your local alternative Solid State Radio as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge on a Tuesday afternoon. Shut up, Adam. It's all good, though. We got a full hour of local original music for which Adam will put his pants back on.
Yes, I will.
And we'll call it sessions because why the hell not? All being well, I'll talk to you tomorrow at 3. See ya.